Previously on Corporate Homing,
building your village.
You're going to have to eliminate negative relationships.
But the tribe does not have to be large. It has to be meaningful.
You got to be a friend to have a friend.
On today's episode of Corporate Homing,
being in a new position or role.
Lead by example. Attitude reflects leadership.
And I don't want these people in my business. What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo, woo. That's the first woo, woo of 2020. First woo, woo of the decade. Woo,
woo. I said a woo, woo.
Don't you. It's not your thing.
I don't
it's
get
it. It's not your thing.
Not even in the new decade. No whoops for me.
Yeah, you're getting better, though.
Oh, Lord. Well, welcome back. We have been off and enjoyed a bit of a holiday break from the podcast and very excited to be recording our first episode of the new year and our first episode of the new decade. So, hey, homies, welcome back.
We miss y'all.
Indeed. So we want to start off the year with an episode about being in a new position or role. We had a couple of homies reach out about, I just made partner or I've just been promoted to the executive level or leadership team, and ask us to sort of talk on that. So first we should say congratulations to everybody who
the homies are making moves. Congratulations, homies. You're making Cardi B money moves.
I don't dance now. I make money moves.
I make money moves.
That's right. Okay, right.
I know, the singing. No singing. Yeah, not my ministry.
No. So, we want to say that this is not about being a new manager or being your first time in leadership. We did an episode on that a while ago. It's episode 33. So if you are a new manager and you just want to talk about ways to get into that, then you should go back and check out episode 33. This one, like we said, is about being a new executive or newly minted partner in your organization. My first tip about that is, prepare to ride the roller coaster. When you get into a new role in your organization, you have a change in responsibilities. You're probably may have to do more with less. You may have to increase your efficiency. You may have to, you know, be the person who understands how to go with the flow of the organizations. Organizations are constantly changing. They're constantly changing even what maybe your role means and what your responsibilities mean within that. And I think you've got to be sort of agile and flexible.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And also, you know, just, you know, to continue on that point, you're probably going to get new information that you haven't been privy to before. And so that might change your whole outlook on certain things. So just having an open mind and the ability to be agile and the ability to be flexible is going to be incredibly key to your success.
Yeah, that is a really great point. I hadn't thought about what you were saying about you'll be privy to confidential information. I didn't even think about that when I was preparing my notes, but that's a real thing. And that part of stepping into the new role is you can't gossip about everything that you hear or whatever. I just hadn't even really thought about that piece, but that's very true as when you hit the leadership right. of the organization. You get to know things before everybody knows things, and you can't really be the one sharing
and
or talking about those things.
Responsibility, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. My first tip is to be confident. You know, you were chosen for a reason. The organization believes in you. They believe that you have the ability to lead at a larger level. And to the extent that you don't believe that, or you're not 100% on board, you've got to project confidence, because everything that you do, every communication that you give, every move that you make, the way you dress, people are looking at you and they are taking their cues from you. So if you don't think you're not sharing something in a confident, positive way, No one on your team will see it in a confident and positive way. So be confident, be positive.
No, that's a really good point too, because a lot of times, and I remember that when I was a brand new partner, being very excited about being a partner, but then also, you know, still remembering the first time I realized that I was about to try a case and I was it,
yeah,
you know, and really not even realizing it all the way up into the trial. It wasn't until I sat at the counsel table and I sort of looked around,
it's
like,
just
oh,
me.
It's just me. I mean, it's me and these people, but these people are, they're working for me and they're working with me. And so you're right. You have to be able, and that's true when it's time for you to run your first meeting or lead your first pitch or whatever it is, you've got to show some confidence. I think that's a really excellent point.
I remember when I first got promoted to market president at the bank, and I went into one of the branches, and people were, you know, some of the tellers and whatnot were, you know, they're giving that energy as if somebody important was around. And I remember looking behind me thinking that like maybe the regional president or somebody had come into the branch. And then I was like, oh, whoa, they're doing this for me.
It's me.
And I remember one of my relationship managers said, you need to work on your city exec mystique. Like you need, you know, it kind of made me laugh, but you know, it reminded me that people are paying attention to you.
And you know, that's a good point because, there's a good book on that, which is called Executive Presence. And so there is something to, you know, leading and carrying yourself as if you are an executive and sort of understanding what all that entails. My next point was, it kind of falls right in line with that, but is embracing the role as a leader. So now it's time for you to understand that you are an ambassador of the organization, that people will think that, you know, expect you to have the organization's interest, best interest in play, that you are pursuing that. It's not just about your own desires or the own things that you want. So you also have to work on your work power and influence, which means you need to be building relationships with other people in the firm or in the organization.
That's so important. I mean, because, you know, now what everyone understands the culture of the organization to be is the way that you're driving it. And so that's a, you know, such a really good point. Mine is being a listen is my next point, right? So one of the most important attributes when you are a new leader is to find out what's going on, how things are perceived, what your direct reports think. And, you know, I don't believe in making any, you know, major changes to the way the department is running or where the practice area is running or whatever that may be within the first 30 days. Cause I think, you know, you should be on a listening tour, as a new executive. So you can find out what's working well, what can be improved upon, and then how you can bring your own individual style to what you guys want to accomplish.
No, that is really a good point, because you'll never be great in your new role as a partner or an executive if you don't understand what your team wants or desires or what they're even thinking. For it doesn't mean that you have to match all of those things, but you certainly need to participate and understand what those are. In that same respect, I think that it's equally important that you understand the organization's business. And so I think a lot of times people feel as though if you're being promoted into this new role that you know what it is, but many times people don't understand like exactly how does the organization make money? What are our biggest challenges? What are our, who's our biggest client? Who's our biggest customer? You should know who the organization's top 10 clients are, and how your organization makes money. What's your biggest expense? What are the things that, you know, and like I said, and not just expense and challenges from an economic standpoint, what are your cultural challenges? Do you have a challenge with diversity? Do you have a challenge with multiple generations in the company? Do you have a challenge with technology? You need to really get behind and understand the organization.
Right, and
business.
I think a part of understanding the organization's business is understanding how you and your department and your group fit into those overarching goals. Because it's incredibly difficult to be effective if you don't know the big picture of what you guys are trying to do. So,
what do you mean about your departments within those?
So you said you need to understand the organization's business, and then how do you guys, you know, why does your, for lack of a better phrase, why does your department exist within that business? Like, how do you fit into what the organization is trying to do overall, right? So, like, for example, on my team, you know, the bank is trying to be the best bank that we can be in the country and gain market share. And so that means that in Florida, we're trying to gain market share within Florida, within Tampa. And so you have to understand what is, sometimes you're at a bank where they're trying to maintain market share because they're the market share leader. In our case, we're trying to raise our profile and get more market share. That's going to be a completely different way in the way you come to market if you're already the top person, you're already the top bank, then you're trying to become one of the top five banks in terms of your market. So that's what I mean by understanding where you are within the overall organization's goals. This sounds simple, my next tip, but it's a lead by example. You know, no one respects a leader that's not willing to roll their sleeves up, get in the trenches and works. And one of my favorite quotes, you know, I feel like every movie I watch or TV show, I come up with some favorite quote that Dimitri and I quote back to each other 15, 17, 20 years later. But one of my favorite quotes is from Remember the Titans, where he says, attitude reflects leadership. And, you know, I just think that, you know, leading by example is so important. So to a certain degree, and you know, you can't, your immediate thoughts, especially if they're negative, cannot be immediately expressed. So attitude reflects leadership. Lead by example.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I know when I was younger in my career, I didn't respect the people or thought they were great leaders if they never, you know, if they sort of just were like, oh, you guys go out, get it done, and I'm off to have, you know, exactly, a steak dinner and hope it all is ready when I get back. And so, you know, I'm not saying that as a, you know, executive, you need to stay and do everything, but I definitely think that people need to know that you have a passion and a concern for, the goals and the tasks just like they do. And with that respect, of course, you know, my next tip is you do have to delegate. Part of really stepping into the next level of being a partner, a president on the executive team, is you can't do two jobs. You can't do the job that got you there, still want to do everything that made you successful there, but also learn and thrive in your newly minted role. So that is probably the most difficult thing, is delegation. And I think most people struggle with delegation because they don't have confidence in their team. And so the answer is not to do everything yourself. I think the answer is to get better people who work with you so that you can trust that they are handling things in the way
that you
want them handled.
That's such a great point. And, you know, you can't be, you know, basically an associate that's in charge, right? Like, you've got to be delegating,
right?
And the other thing is, you're not supposed to be building many versions of yourself. You have to also, I think one of the reasons why people don't delegate is because the people that work for them or on their team don't do it exactly the way that they do it. And then they're like, well, this is the way I want it done. It's like, okay, that's not what leadership is. Leadership is allowing people to do it within their way, but still getting the task done. And so that requires you to take a step back and say, there might be different ways to get something done that's slightly different than the way that I do it. So I think that delegation piece is so important.
You know, that's a really good thing. And I struggle with that and still do sometimes. I mean, I definitely am like, but you should do it this way. And I've had to really say, wait, Dimitra, let's see how it turns out and see if they're able to accomplish what you desire without taking the exact path that they, because that's what you mostly care about is the results, not how they get there. And so you're I think that is a really, really good
point. So my next point is inspire and empower. No one runs through walls for a leader that does not inspire them. Nobody runs through walls for a leader that micromanages them and they feel like they're not empowered to make any decisions. So find ways at every level to inspire and empower.
How do you do that? Like, what's an example of how you do that with your people?
Something small. Whenever we're hosting any kind of event, a lunch and learn, a reception, you know, what have you, I empower the assistants to do the whole thing. Like when I first got into leadership, you could tell people are used to working with different people of different leadership styles, because people would bring me like menus and say, what do you want for us to eat? And I'd say, I trust you.
I don't want to do the food.
But instead of I don't want to do it, I trust you. I said, keep in mind that we have, you know, people who have dietary restrictions. Please keep in mind that people are more health conscious today than they were, say, 20 years ago. So don't have a bunch of carbs. You know, every time somebody brings nothing but bagels and pastries to a breakfast meeting, no one eats it. Nobody eats it, right? Because it's not like it was in 1993 where people did a lot of that. So that's a small way of empowering. I trust you. You run the whole show. That's your bailiwick. So that's a way, something like that.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the ways I try to do it is in the work. So when someone, you know, finds the answer or has a great suggestion, even when I'm talking to the client, I'm like, you know, Bimitra pointed out to us that we blah, 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 because that lets people know, I trust you. I'm not going to take credit for your work. I'm going to share your ideas with the other to give you credibility with the client. And I think you're exactly spot on, because the worst person in an organization is the person who only thinks about themselves, is the person who only thinks, I want to look good, I want to make sure I shine, and they forget about the fact that they work on a team. My next point is, just like you need to know your organization's business, as you move into being in leadership, you need to make sure you understand your client's business, whoever you're serving, you know, whether that be the customer, if you're like in banking, or, you know, your actual client. You can't actually be exceptionally well if you don't understand the industries and your client's business that you're in.
I could not agree more. How are you going to be an effective attorney if you don't fundamentally understand what the client's business is? Because you're arguably solving a business problem through a legal avenue. So how are you going to do that if you don't fundamentally understand their business? That's so ironic, because my next point was, you need to know your team, right? And so everybody hates working for the person. They're like, they don't even know if I'm married or I'm single or if I have kids or if I have a dog, because what that means is they feel like that their leader doesn't care about them. And if someone feels like you don't care about them, then they feel like you don't care about their career. And I've worked for people who I know didn't know anything about me. And that is, I'm thinking about that person, and was my least favorite leader that I had. And it was, and I thought to myself, like, gosh, how do you work for somebody for 5 years? They don't know anything about you. And I'm not talking about people need to know your mama's name, but and so the way that
Right. But have some genuine interest in the person.
Right. And so in all of my coaching sessions on a monthly basis, I start with them as a person. How's everything going? Is so-and-so still playing t-ball? Or have you guys been traveling a lot with travel soccer or baseball or whatever it may be? But taking a personal interest in the person.
I like that. And that is a really good point. And I think that's something that you and I have talked about many times, that women and minorities can struggle with, because sometimes I think they're not interested in the small talk of life.
Right.
And like,
get out my business.
And I don't want these people in my business. And you're like, well, but it's hard to really do business with people that you don't really know. So that's a really great point. My last tip is, as you've moved into this role, and it's kind of what we're talking about with the executive presence, you also need to be able to market yourself. You need to be able to discuss yourself and your talents and what you bring that is different. You are no longer a worker bee. So it's time for you to really, you're an executive.
Y'all think small, I think biggie.
Y'all think small, I think biggie.
That's right. So you need to be able to say, like, this is what makes me different than my partners. This is what makes me different than my fellow executive vice presidents. You know what I bring to this team that no one else brings to this team? And so if you haven't really thought about that, sit down and think, what are three things that make me different from everyone else that's in the room today? Hey,
hello, somebody. I think that is so, so important. My last and final tip is share info from the top. Not the confidential info we were speaking of earlier, but like at the banks, we all go to, you know, senior leadership team meetings, and then we have our meetings. And, you know, my first few years at the bank, you know, my city exec would always go to the monthly senior leadership team meeting, and then he would come back. And it wasn't until I got a new boss who in the monthly meeting would give us a recap of what they discussed in the senior leadership team meeting. I thought, how cool is this? Right. And it made me feel more connected to the overall organization, right? Vision. Because communication mm-hmm. builds trust, right? And so they feel like, well, if there's something going on that's significant, Bimitra is going to tell us, or Marcia's going to tell us, because she shares any information that she can share, she does. Any information he can share, he does. So communicating and sharing information from the top is paramount.
I love it. That's great. Well, these are our tips. If you are the new partner, the new executive, please let us know what you thought. Again, I really encourage you to go also back and listen to episode 33. We always appreciate the topics. And so if you have a topic that you want covered, feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com or slide into the DM. I think this one came from the DM on LinkedIn. So and you can always link in with us as well. So just let us know.
Right. And as always, if you want to, you can connect with us on all things social. Like she said, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And if you want us to come and present to your organization, shoot us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. And I'll finish by saying, if you've recently been promoted or whatever, when you listen to the episode, drop us a comment and let us know how you're succeeding, homies. We want to hear about it. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.